So we're going to talk a little bit about Purim and the change in the dawn of a new era that in Jewish history, like everything else that we've seen, how the Torah portrays, we always have two phases. We have two luchot. We have two worlds. We have the world of Adam. We have the world of Noah. Always there is a idea, a pristine world. And then there is a new concept, a new construct, a new world. And we say that we're going to see that this also relates to how God portrays his own name to us, how he reveals himself, how we create a relationship. And what will follow, you have hopefully the handout, is on page 2. The first couple sources is the Megala Mukot. We're not going to go over, there's not enough time. You should be able to do it yourself, and I'm going to allude to them. But we are going to focus on how Rav Tzadok HaKohen in the Likutei Amorim, in other places, relate to this idea. Says Rav Tzadok, and it's on the bottom, the last source of side 2. Sod HaPurim Shekatav B'Pri Yitzchak, which is page 2, because you have like, I printed both sides, so it's page 2 at the bottom. And it's Likutei Amorim Otalet. Sod HaPurim, the secret of Purim, Shekatav B'Pri Yitzchak. The Arizal writes in the Pri Yitzchak, Reb Chaim Vital writes in the Imud Ari, right, because Reb Chaim Vital was the one who wrote, the Uerat Yisod Abba. The Purim is the revelation of Hashem of something called Yisod, the foundation of the Father. Yesoid Abba, Ayin Sham. That's what that rewrites. Pirush explains the following. The Noda, we know the following. Abba, Chochma. Father, in the family, the pater familia, how God presents himself to us, he presents himself to us as a family. And as a family, that's how God presents. You realize that the structure of a family, and we just started now with the presentation of God as a family, as the pater familia, is the father and the mother, and they have the son and the daughter. Those are the way how Hashem presents. That's why there is such an importance to us to build a family, is because God doesn't present himself to us as one unit, but as a unit of a family. So the father is the revelation of Hashem of his wisdom, of Chochmah. Why? Because the father is the potential, is the one that in the relationship he gives the seed, and the seed is the potential, and that gets developed. Chochmah is that eureka moment of the consciousness, and that's Abba. V'yisoid, however yisoid, which is the, so by the way, the number one sphera, not the number one, I'm sorry, the number two sphera is Chochmah. And the number 9 sphera, there are 10 spheres. God reveals to us those 4, which is father, mother, son, and daughter, represents into 10 spherot. The 10 spherot is the 10 emanation of God presents himself. The number 2 is Chochmah. And the number 9 is Yesoid. Yesoid is connected the idea of being mashpia, that you have a chokhmah, but you want to present, you want to give, you want to transmit. That's yesoid. Hu koach ha'otzah lapoal. Chokhmah is the wisdom. Yesoid is taking that wisdom into realization, allowing it to be in the body of the person. This is connected the brain, the chokhmah, and connected the parts of the body which relate to giving birth, right? The genitals of the person is yesoid. Because yesoid, we know that the semen comes from the pituitary gland, which comes from the brain. So it's the way to take the ideas and transmitting them. V'lidei gilui, and they come, they take ideas into revelation. U'koach ha'mashpia b'makabrim. That's how you transmit, you create. Yesoid is how you take your secrets of your thoughts into revelation. That's why the part of the body which allows procreation is yesoid. Because the children are the revelations of the inner thoughts of the parents. That's why you take it from the Chochmah to Yesoid. Now, Yesoid Abba, the Ari is telling you the following, that whenever a holiday creates a new revelation of God, it's called Yesoid Abba. It's God's wisdom that he wants to transmit, he wants to reveal, he wants to proclaim. That proclaiming, that revealing, is called the Yesoid of Abba. Abba is the Chochmah, the wisdom, and Yesoid is how he lets that know, how he transmits. There are many holidays, but the few holidays we're going to see, which are called Yesoid Abba, they reveal God in a new way that we did not know before. It's a new relationship, it's a new revelation. Because God is beyond anything that we can fathom. We can't even understand what he is not. Even the via negativa, we can't understand. But we know what God wants us to know about him. But the Chochmah is the plan, what he wants to do, and the Yesoid is how he makes that known. So therefore, when the Torah is what's Torah? Torah is the revelation in writing of God's wisdom. Torah, which is in written words, God's wisdom, nikra, what's, how Dari calls Torah? Yesoid Abba, is the Yesoid of Abba, is the revelation, the transmission of the Chochmah. So it's the Yesoid of the Abba. Yesoid Abba is always, always, always relates to Torah. Sheu Sifro Shel Hashem Yisborach. That's his book. When somebody writes a book, you have to transmit, to put into words, your wisdom. You have to verbalize. Verbalizing it is always Yesoid Abba. Interestingly enough, right? The two parts of the body which relate to Mila, the mouth, right? The word in Hebrew means Mila, and the Bris Mila is Mila, because both of them reveal the inner meaning and the inner being of the person. Is Yesoid Abba. Torah is Yesoid Abba. Shasefer Megalet Chochmat Amechabro. Always the book reveals the Chochmah, the wisdom of the author. Umegillah, and that's why the Megillah is called a Sefer. Nikra Gam Sefer, it's called a book, because it's revealing a new aspect of God's wisdom that was not known before. Kumo Shamru Chazal, the Gemara says that. Mikra de Zikoron Besefer, it says the war of Amalek should be a remembrance in the book. Right? We all know that. That Megillah has the value of a Sefer Torah. Kamita Shel Torah, Divrei Shalom Ve'emet, it's truth. The Gemara says Kamita Shel Torah has a din of a Sefer Torah. That's why you need light, you need Sirtut, Kamita Shel Torah. The 2 days of Kabbalah Satorah, right? Kabbalah Satorah, of Luchos Shnios, the second Luchos, when was the Kabbalah Satorah? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is called the Yom Chasunosoi. The Gemara Mishnah in Tanya says is the day that we got the second set of Luchos, the first Kabbalah Satorah. What's the second Kabbalah Satorah that we have? It's Purim. That's why Purim is Kippurim. Those are the two sides of the same coin. And they're called Yesoid Abba. The Ari says that Yesoid Abba is a revelation of God's wisdom. Now we have to understand very soon, why is Megillah so? Torah is the revelation of God, how God created the world, how he gave the Torah. The Megillah is a story that doesn't even bring God's name. What's so special about it? You explain, they can, as kimu mashikiblu kvar, kimu vekiblu, that says by the Megillah, this is a strengthening of something that was before, is the second Kabbalah Satorah, is the Torah that was given before. Since Yesoid Abba is that this is a revelation like Kabbalah Satorah, you realize that Chazal understand the story of Purim as a reenactment of Maimad Har Sinai. Maimad Har Sinai of Luchos Shniyos is Yom Kippur. Maimad Har Sinai in its second version was the story of Purim. Read the story of Purim is such an amazing story. And you have to go ahead. I'm just going to give you an akdama. Out of the 24 books of our scripture, we know that our scripture, as opposed to other traditions, right, the Christian tradition, various Christians, we believe there are 24 books which are canonized in the scriptures. One of them, it was a debatable book if to be included or not included in the scriptures. We know that in Qumran, right, in Qumran, we found all of scriptures, all Kitvei HaKodesh, with the exception of one book, that we can find the book of Esther. The book of Esther was debatable. The Gemara says, the Gemara Megillat Daf Zayin discusses it, and this was only settled, right, Purim happened in the year around 400 BC, give or take. This was only settled in basically the third century of the Common Era to include Esther. 700 years it took if to include Esther or not into scriptures. You realize that was unsettled for 700 years. So that's why it's not a surprise that in Qumran they didn't include Esther. Right? For 700 years, this was an open debate. And still, it's as important as Maimed Har Sinai is, almost as important as Torah. Kamita Shel Torah. How does that sit together? V'zeh Shomru, now he says something amazing. V'zeh Shomru, the chashivus and the importance of Esther is what Chazal alluded in the Gemara Sanhedrin. Ra'uya Ezra Shilitaten Torah Liyado. There is a personality which was at the same time, at this beginning of the Second Commonwealth. His name was Ezra. And Chazal say that Ezra was roy to give Torah again. That's what Chazal say. And instead of giving a new Torah, he changed the writing of the Torah. The Torah before was written in Ksav Ivri, in the Hebrew, right? Which is this Paleo-Hebrew, which was something called in Hebrew called Ivri. He was supposed to give a new Torah. But because the world was not ready for that, he didn't give a new Torah, he changed the writing of the Torah into something called Ktav Ashurit. Hainu Ichud HaGilui. He was going to change God's revelation in the time of Ezra. The same way God revealed himself through Moshe Rabbeinu on Torah Shebichsav in Maimer HaSinai. At this transitional period, the end of the First Commonwealth and the beginning of the Second Commonwealth, which is Purim, that leads directly into the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, into the people of the Great Assembly, which was the establishment of the Second Commonwealth, which was headed by Ezra, the Gilu in the revelation of God was supposed to change. In good historical terms, this is called in Hebrew the Axial Age. The Axial Age is something that historians from other religions have realized that the world changes its axis, right? The same way we know that the North Pole and the South Pole changed, in religions it changed also. In Chazal, the Axial Age was supposed to be Ezra, that he was supposed to give a new Torah. Instead of that, what he did was he changed the writing of the Torah from Paleo-Hebrew into Hebrew, into something called Aram, Ktav Ashurit. Ki Agilu El Be'Aktav, because the writing is the Gilui. That's how God reveals himself. V'chein Elosem Nes B'mei Ezra. Not only that, the Gemara in Brocha says that Ad Yavor Hashem Ad Yavor, that there were supposed to be miracles in the time of Ezra, the same type of miracles that you had in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you realize that Ezra, the establishment of the Second Commonwealth, was supposed to be a new beginning, a new Nasinas HaTorah and a new Yetzias Mitzrayim. The world was not ready for that, the Gemara says, Shegor Machet. Therefore, we didn't have, but we had a partial new Torah. You know what the partial new Torah is? The change in the writing to something called Ktav Ashurit. You have to realize that that moment that starts in Purim goes all the way. This transitional period is Maimad Har Sinai all over. That's why the rewrite is Yesoid Abba. Yesoid Abba is the Gilui of the Father. That's how the Father reveals himself. Shel Gilui Chochmoso Yisborach Ba'olam. This is how God's wisdom gets revealed in the world. Shezeu Yesoid Abba. Rak Shegara Machet. So what happened was, was supposed to be a nukva matan Torah, but the world was not ready. Ela v'lo haya ela mitzad nislabshusu b'nukva. What happened was, it came through the female. It came through Esther. This is the Ezra becomes nisgale through a woman, through Esther. Kimivua, like it says, next page. Besefer Kri Etz Chaim, like it says in the Kri Etz Chaim, like the Ari, that's like Chaim Vital writes in the Ari. Don't fall nisi mefursone v'koilu subroki v'skalu zukul befol k'may mad har Sinai. So there were no miracles, open miracles, like my mad har Sinai. Rak shay mitzad labshusu b'knesses Yisrael. What happened was, God revealed himself through us in a different way. In other words, the revelation, says Dari, was a different revelation. Clearly there was a new revelation. This is a new Maimed Har Sinai, Ezra. But it came out, not God coming to us in a new revelation, but the revelation came through us, through the females, which is the Jewish people are the female of God, like we spoke so many times. It came through us. Believe with Bnei Yisrael in our understanding. Came through our inspiration and intuition. God revealed himself, not by revealing himself to us, but he revealed himself through us. This is the cognition of humans changed. That's why it's so important to understand. If you try to visualize, to think of the Jewish religion pre-Ezra, I personally have a huge problem understanding how was Yiddishkeit pre-Ezra. The history is in the exile age. It's interesting that whatever happens to us, it happens to the whole world. Every religion I have that went through this, that the pre, in this time, which is called the transitional period of the exile age, perhaps from the time of the first Churban, from the time of Yechezkel, because Yechezkel is the first prophet of the Churban. On that transitional period, every religion changed. Meaning we know that the Vedas of the Hindus become translated by the Upanishads. We all know that this happens in the Vedas as translated by the Buddha, right? In the Pali writings. And the way how every religion says that once upon a time was a world that God revealed himself and there were rituals. And now it becomes the axial age that humans are the ones searching for God. Humans are the ones understanding the world. Becomes through the human intuition and understanding. That's what they write. If you read in any analysis of religions, if anybody did any comparative religion, you realize that's fantastic how this thing happened in every religion. But Chazal say that this is because of us. Because Yisrei Dabar, right? God revealed himself differently. Always, it goes straight and comes back. It's Yor Yashad. My bad, Harsino is God revealing to us. And here is our ability to have the intuition for us to cognate God, to connect to him. So it comes through us. It's our cognition, it's our understanding, it's our intuition. That's why this is the generation of Torah Shebaal Peh. Yes, it's not. Exactly right. It's outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's absolutely. This is the beginning of the outside of Eretz Yisrael. Absolutely truth. But you see something also. That's the generation of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's that tradition of we understanding. It's our understanding. It's our perception. Not God come to us, but we coming to him, towards him. That's why you're going to see that's the miracle. That's the story of Purim. Is that we find God in this world. God talks through us. We don't need God to talk to us. It's our intuition, it's our feeling. The world is an expression of God. I always say, it's from a world of revelation to a world of presence. God revealed himself. Now here, God is present through us. That's why Torah Shebaal Peh, this is the generation of Torah Shebaal Peh, that we, through our learning, this is a transition that happened from prophets to Chachomim. The Ramban explained prophets is God talking to people. It's prophecy called Nevuah Niv Sfatayim. He reveals himself to people. Chachomim is Ruach HaKodesh Shebikirbam, is the intuition, the inspiration that's in their heart. God inspires through them. That's the Chachomim. You're going to see that, and we're going to get very soon to that. but Purim is a transitional period. And you know what body was a transitional period? We had in that transition, the Jewish people run not by one prophet, but by a conclave called the Anshei Knesset Agdola, the people of the Great Assembly. Chazal say why they're called the Great Assembly. What's great about the assembly? The great of the assembly was because the prophets, until then, prophecy was coming down and down and down. Because they couldn't say Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Venorad. God is the great, the strong, and the fearful. And they say, what? God is great? You see Jews suffering. You see the temple being destroyed. They couldn't say it. And they stopped saying it. And they dropped that because God didn't reveal himself. And Chiknes, they're called great. Chazal say, because they chziru atara liyushna, they return the crown to its place. And they say, they establish in Shmona Esrei that we say, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Venora. And they say, how? It says, being God, being quiet, the fact that he doesn't punish the people, he shows his greatness. The greatness not of revealing himself, the greatness of holding himself back. The greatness that he allows the Jewish people to survive. The survival of the Jewish people is greatness. The answer is very simple, because God revealed himself greatness. That is the world of the prophets. The world of the post-prophecy world is the world of intuition, that you realize that God reveals himself by being quiet. That's a form of great form of revelation. By him not doing anything, by he allowing him to do, that shows great strength. That's why Anshei Knesset Agdola, this group, which are able to see God through quietness, through intuition, through inspiration, there were 120 people. Realize that the Knesset in Israel is modeled after the Second Commonwealth, which was the 120 people of Anshei Knesset Agdola. It says in the Yerushalmi that Anshei Knesset Agdola were 85 Chachomim and 35 prophets. So this was the mending between the prophets and the Chachomim. And the world that remained after Anshei Knesset Agdola is the world of Chachomim, the world that can understand God through inspiration. That's a new form of revelation of God. And that's why Ezra did that, you know how? By changing the writing of the letters. Because you realize something. Ketav Libuna, if anybody saw Paleo-Hebrew. Paleo-Hebrew is a pictograph. Right? In other words, the letters who represent in pictures the word, the letters. Bait, bait is a house. Mem is water, waves. Aleph is an ox, right? How does the ayin look like? An eye. You don't have to be a big chokhom to understand. Hebrew dashuris is the writing that has the crowns and all the droshas. For us to be able to get ideas through inspiration, through droshas, is only possible through ktavashuris. Ezra said, now you don't need a new Torah. You need a new understanding of the existing Torah. That's Ezra. So Ezra was supposed to give a new Torah, a new perception of God. He says, you don't need a new perception of God. You need a new perception of the Torah that exists by us. How do you do that? By changing the writing. And he wrote the writing to Ketav Ashuris. And that's why this is the time that the quality, the depth, the perception of Torah changed. It's all through intuition. It's all. That's why I always say, and that's something to realize. Moshe kibel Torah b'sina, yumesorah l'Yeshua, Yeshua l'skenim, skin l'neviim, and neviim esaru al Anshei Knesset Agdola. Neviim gave to Anshei Knesset Agdola, hem amru shlosha dvarim. Pirkei Avot starts with the sayings of the Anshei Knesset Agdola. One second. Where are the sayings of the prophets? The sayings of Moshe. I mean, why the Pirkei Avot starts in the middle of Jewish history? But the idea was because whatever they said, if you want to know what Moshe said, what Neviim said, or the Shoftim, you look in scriptures. Those are the scriptures they said. Because God spoke to them. When God speaks to people, that's the Rosh Bechsav. It's God revealing the writing. This is the world that they were found out what God said. God spoke through them. This starts where? In Anshei Knesset Agdola. That's what Pirkei Avot starts in Anshei Knesset Agdola. Hem amru shlosha dvarim. Now, let's continue. This is the revelation of Torah. continues up to the Genes de Achashverosh, the miracle of Achashverosh also, Ubinyan Baisheni, and even the construction of the second temple, Hakol Bislapshus Derech HaTeva, is God speaking through nature. Right? The miracle. Who are the actors of the miracle? Humans. But is God acting through humans? The same way the cognition of God is not God telling you who He is. He's giving you the ability for you to find out who He is. He reveals Himself through you. The miracles, how God acts in the world, He acts through us. That's why the miracle is Bederech HaTeva. Binyan Baisheni, the first temple, Hakol Miad Hashem Alai Hiskil. It says in the Pasuk that Shlomo Melech, God told him how to build the second temple, the first temple. The second temple is human decision of how to build it. Haraya, they didn't know how to do it because they had two prophecies, the prophecy of Yechezkel and the prophecies of Shlomo, and the two temples didn't match. The third, they had the third and they had the first. You realize the Rambam says in Vilchas Beis Abchira that the second temple was built very funny because God told them how to build the first temple through Shlomo. God told them how to build the third temple through Yechezkel. But the second temple, they didn't tell them. So they had to find out. So they decided to say they are going to build according to the third one, according to what they understand from the third thing. Anything they didn't understand from the third, they copy the first. So the second temple is a mixture between the first and the third. But it's depending on their understanding. What they understood from the third, they implemented. What they didn't understand wasn't for them. Also, the Binyan HaBayis came through them. It comes through Koresh. It's all natural. It's always through human actors. It's the human Torah. Old human history. What Michael is saying, the Jewish calendar, the Luchos. The first Luchos, Mas Elokim, the God Luchos. What's the second Luchos? Moshe Rabbeinu, Psol Lecha Luchos. The first world, who created the first world? The world of Adam. God created Adam. The second world, which is the world post-flood, who created it? Noach. Hashem told Noach, you build a teva, you save the people, and you feed the people, you do it. This is the amazing part of it, that now the second part is through us. Ukzvur imanu. Now let me tell you something. And that's the Tzodok Fim's idea. You think that the world went down in levels. When God spoke to people, it was greater than God coming through this intuition, through being here, not by revealing Himself. She's a chet v'chisaron. It's a chet and a chisaron. Meaning we should have been zochet, a new Torah and a new miracles, and we are not zochet, so we went down. U'be'emet einu el yitaron. But just the opposite. This is much bigger. We are now in a much bigger level. If it comes through us, through our understanding, our intuition, that God's with us, much bigger. Ketam ikar sichlut me'at. It's always good to have a little darkness. Kivadai gadol kabal dvirit b'atzman. It's much bigger to get to know it on your own than being told. Dulu leken. Because if you had to be told, is modah rabal oraisa. You realize that if you need to be told, it's like a child. If you need to be fed all the time, you become dependent on it. So you depend on somebody feeding you all the time. And that's not good. That's why the Jews had an escape. The Yaros Vash says is something very interesting. You look at the God, we had the first temple. And I told you we can't understand because the understanding of humans changed at that time. It's a different Kabbalah Satorah. But the Jews went into diaspora. They went into Galut. In 70 years, they were mixed marriages. They were all mixed. They didn't keep Shabbos. Like, it was a total obliteration of the Jewish people. They didn't even want to go back, most people. So the Arzvash says, and we are in Golos for 2,000 years. And Baruch Hashem, we have yeshivas. How is that possible? I mean, these people in 70 years gave up, and we in 2,000 years didn't give up? So that's his question. That's the answer here. Komo shemur chazal. There is no comparison. If our relationship to God is by miracles and God showing up to us, it's no comparison to when we can see it on our own. We can see God on our own. We don't need God to show up to us. we can see that God is present here. That's much bigger. Visit our Megillah Nikras. That's why the Megillah is red. We don't need anybody to read the Megillah. Chazal always in the quote the Megillah and said the Megillah is red. Megillah is Gilui. The Mashma Me'atzma. On its own, you don't need God to read you the Megillah. It's read in its own. It becomes obvious. The cognition, we can see God here without Him revealing to us. Velo koyri b'sa Megillah, the Mashmo b'shtar l'sodom. Reading the Megillah means that you have to do something. God has to come. This is natural. It's an intuition. Like behemet kolinyan purim ulevasum edeloyada. That's how you drink until you don't need it. You don't need to see. You don't need to explain. It's natural. Becomes a natural God speaking, being here, the presence. Shu'edir adat mikol mok mudovak b'shem yitzbarach. Even without knowledge, even without cognition, intuition is even higher than cognition. Because just sometimes in the first temple, you had to actually see the miracles and understand and be told by prophets. Like it's Matan Torah, God revealed to us with voices and miracles and stuff. So God showed them, guys, you're getting the Torah. And this is amazing, it's fantastic, but God showed us. That's why Chazal said that that Kabbalah Satorah, the first one, was not complete. Because God was forcing into us. It was so obvious that made is like force-fed. That's why Chazal said that the first Torah that was given to us, God actually took the mountain and forced upon us. What's the forcing? The miracles was no way to escape. It's like force-feeding a child. They understood the greatness and the awesomeness. Because they realized that Torah is life. They had no other choice. They were told, they were force-fed. They saw in their own eyes how the world depends on Torah. That's why they received. And that's why they had an escape. Because the Jews, when God hid Himself, when they were not force-fed miracles, they lost faith. And that's why they went into Babylonia, when God didn't reveal there were no more miracles, Yiddishkeit went down the drain. Because it's like you become dependent on all the miracles and all the showing. That is very superficial. So God doesn't reveal, they can say, they only take Torah when it becomes obvious that God comes to you. Like somebody told me, I mentioned several times at the Baal Tshuva, comes to me and says, listen, I'm not religious. You know why? Because I'll be a religious guy comes and talks to me. God spoke to these people all the time. Okay, if you hear God coming and all the miracles, for sure you become from. It's not fair that you should expect me to get to know God without having talking to me. This is the first world, but that's a world which is superficial. You depend on God. If God doesn't come to you, you're gone. That's why Achashverosh is a new Kabbalah Satorah. It's a Kabbalah Torah of science that we can see God even if God doesn't come to us. It's natural, it's the intuition, it's the closeness. God is present here. It's that cognition, it's that axial wage. Bilvova mitzvah called Dibre Tovichorosh mitzad elem vislapsho shenka nishtadus bedasa kora brura. You don't need to be told, you don't need to be shown. It's inherently truth. That's why it's called Amita Shel Torah. Megillah is Amita Shel Torah, the truth of Torah. That you see the world and the world is God speaking all the time. I told that person, it's not that God doesn't speak to you. As I mentioned before, it's that you are not listening to God. Because today, God is the world. He doesn't speak in the world. I just mentioned two things. First of all, Rav Tzodek somewhere else says, this transition in Perk Chavbeit talks Lamnatzeach al Hayelet Shashachar Mizmor David. It's called the Lamnatzeach, the song of David, in the dawn of the night. And Chazal say that Esther is the dawn of the night. The same way the Alot HaShachar, the dawn, is the end of the night, Esther is the end of the open miracles. Now the miracles are here. So the Tzaddik says, one second, that's the end of the night, should be the end of the day. Was day God appearing before? Was light, clear, obvious? And now it's night. But Chazal says the end of the night and the beginning of the day. says Rav Tzadok, like I just told you here, if you need God to come to you, and he needs to come to you and say, remind you, this is night. And there are some rays of light. You have to realize that we live in a world of night at that time. Today we live in a world of light. God is speaking to us all the time. That's why Chazal says something amazing. The 40 ways that the Torah is acquired. And the last one is Omer Davar B'Shem Omro. The last way the Torah is acquired is that when you say something, you have to say in the name of the first person who said it. And we learned that from where? From Esther. Vatomer Esther Lamelech B'Shem Mordechai. She told the king in the name of Mordechai. This is the 48th way the Torah is nicknamed. First of all, why is that so important? What happens if you like just take it for yourself? Okay, you just adopt it to you. Why is that a violation of Torah? But not only that, we know that the 48 is connected to 48 prophets. So the last 48 prophet is Mordechai or Ezra. Debatable who the last prophet is. Yeah, because Malachi, but the Gemara in the Malachi is such an interesting one, right? Malachi himself, we don't know who he was. Machloket in the Gemara if it was Ezra or Mordechai. That's the Gemara is debating. The Gemara has the end, because I just told you, now if you understand this, Mordechai or Ezra might be Malachi. Then it's probably Ezra, the Gemara says. Ezra is Malachi. But he's Davar B'Shem Omro. One second, Davar B'Shem Omro is Esther. Patomer Esther Lamelech B'Shem Mordechai. How do you relate this to the last prophet, which is Malachi, that perhaps is even Ezra, not even Mordechai? But you realize that. In the end of prophecy, the world is talking to you. God talks through, right? He doesn't talk to, he talks through. So it's very easy for you to stop at the person speaking and not realizing that he's speaking on behalf of somebody else. The world is speaking today on behalf of God. We, our intuition is on behalf of God. God is here, is present. The world is just masking God. So therefore, the way how to approach the Torah is to realize that the person is speaking on behalf of somebody else. If you see Trump, he's speaking on behalf of somebody else. Therefore, the end of prophecy is Davar B'Shem Omro. Because if you don't have Davar B'Shem Omro, you miss the idea. This is the world of God here, speaking through us, speaking through the world. It's the world of presence. It's God being present. And that's much higher. That's why God is in us, in our own heart. And from our depth of our hearts, we can see God through our songs. Because it doesn't have to speak to us. We can hear God everywhere. Just if you pay attention to the world, you see God. We don't have to do much. You don't have to go through all kinds of philosophies. You understand God on your own. The fact that God hid himself because of chet, garam davar gadol yoter, brought to the world a much higher level. Even though God doesn't talk to us, God is still talking to us. And God dresses himself in us. Now we're going to skip this to the next Erev Tzodek. Let me tell you something. These two revelations are the two names of God. One name of God is Yud Kei Vov Kei. God is the unspeakable. It's the world that God comes beyond and shows himself up beyond us. And then there's the name of Adnus, Aleph Daled Nun Yud, which is the God through us. That's why the only name of God, which is in the first person possessive, my God, is Adnus. Is my God, because God reveals through us. That's why each one of us has God in him. God is through you. And that's why Aleph Daled Nun Yud, the Mishnah, the Megillah says, Megillah is Nikret, the Megillah is read from the 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. And the Mishnah says, Lo pachot v'lo yoter, you can't read less earlier than the 11th, which is on the 10th, and you cannot read later on the 16th. Says the Gro, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, the Gematria Samechei 65, which is the name Adnus. Aleph, Daled, Nun Yud is 65. Not more and not less, because more is 16, less is 10, is 26, is Yud Kei Vav Kei. No more Yud Kei Vav Kei, is all Adnus. That's why the Masechtot that we have is 65 Masechtot. The Torah Shebal Peh, the Man De'Omar. Because you always see the people in their Havana. When a person goes ahead and looks into a new perspective of Torah, that's God speaking through you. So this is the closeness that we have to God. That's the my name. That's why God changes his name to Aleph Dalet Nun Yud in the story of Purim. So let's go see just in the next one, which is Machshevet Charut Ot Yud Zayin. The Esther Sof Kol Anisim. This was the time of Esther. Hukmo Kol Sof, but look at Esther. Esther is the dawn of this new era, but is the end of the previous era. Hukmo Sof Kol Madrega. At the end of every stage, when you start into a new stage, that transitional period is a combination of both. As I told you, in Jewish history, whenever there is a break from one to the other, right? That break, there's always something in between called Bein Hashmashot. Whenever there is a transition in Jewish law, there is never a clean break. I mentioned several times there's Bein Hashmashot, the day and the night. There is a transition. In between, there is the no man's land called Bein Hashmashot, which is part day and part night. Whenever there is a transition, there is always this in between. From Israel to Chutz Laretz, there is Ever HaYarden, that's part here, part there. Between the Tanaim and the Moraim, right? The break of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he made the break. There are people, there was Rav. Rav is an Amora, the first of the Moraim, but he Rav Tano Upali, but in some ways he was a Tana also. Always there is in between in any transition. Therefore, the transition of the world of Ezra, right, which is Malachi, to the world of Moshe, these two Torahs, there is a transitional period. What is a transitional period? Is Esther. So Esther is the dawn of a new era because it's partial here, partial there. Partial miracles, partial cognition. The biggest example is Esther, I told you. Esther is part of scriptures. But was a debate, was only decided by the rabbi 600, 700 years later. Imagine, God gives you a scriptures, and he doesn't tell you that that's scriptures. You have to make on your own to decide that scriptures. And the Gemara has a whole discussion in the Zayin Megillah 700 years later, if it's part of it or not. It's in between. Is scriptures decided by men? This is the only decision of men to make scriptures. Yes? Yes, I told you, that's the Gemara. The Gemara didn't know that it was part of Tanakh. 700 years later, they had to find. Yes, they had to find a source on their own in Torah. It's the rabbi's making of scriptures. Can you imagine? Purim is when the rabbis make scriptures. God's revelation is not a revelation until the rabbis decided it was so. It's a revelation, but you need human intervention. In between. Take a look what he says. Yukumo kol sof madriga kumashu nasi rosh vatchala bagad ra'acheret. Says Dari, whenever God transitions in the revelations, there is always the end. There are 10 sfirot. What is the first sfira? The first sfira, the first of the sfirot is called Keter, it's called the crown. What is the last sfira? It's called Malchut kingdom. The crown and the kingdom is always the same. So that's why the kingdom, the lowest sphere of the higher world, is always the crown of the world below. So there's always this in between, the crown and the kingdom, who become this Bein Hashmashot. V'yukumo emtzai bin shtei madrigot, to tell you that the whole world is one, it creates an in between. Shebechol shnei dvarim yesh emtzai, v'hu asof shel zeh v'ro shel zeh. Every time in Jewish law, when there is a transition, there is something in between. You could see in the Beit HaMikdash, everywhere, there is this idea of the hell that was in between. There is never a clean break. There is never a clean break. There is always this intermediary, this stepping stone. Because to create the unity of the world. The world, the binaries of the world, in essence, is the one. You realize always that the Aleph represents the change, is two Yuds connected by a Vav. So the Vav in Chazal, the Maral always says, in essence is two Yuds. Because it's the in-between. In-between is like they say in Yiddish, Nishtahin, Nishtaher. And it's the opposite, is a hin and a her. That's why you always have something which is in between. That's why the transitional letters, the aleph, the unity, is a yud and a yud and a vav. And the vav in Chazal is two yuds put together. So it's always in between. That's when you see that something is concealed and is truth, because it always connects. It's transitions part of the big process. Between the morayim and the gionim, there was the savorayim. Between the gionim and the rishonim, there were the in-betweens. Who are the in-betweens? The people in between is known, the Rabbeinu Hananel, Rabbeinu Gershom, right, are called in-betweens, because some people call them gionim, some call them rishonim. Between the rishonim and the achronim, there is always the in-between. Who is that? The Beit Yosef. Some people call him Zarishon, some people call him Zarachron. In-between. Always the in-between. There is always that transitional fact. Because Keter says in the Ari, in every world, that's why the first Sfira, the highest, is called crown, and the lowest Sfira is called Malchut, is kingdom. The crown and the kingdom is the same, right? You can't have a crown without a kingdom. You can't have a kingdom without a crown, right? In other words, how can you have a kingdom without a king? But you can't have a king without a kingdom. That's why they are in between. That's why the Aleph, which is the unity, two yuds, and a vav, which in essence, the vav is two yuds combined. Okay. He says like this. Why? That's why Purim is that in-between transition. Even though it's the God speaking through the people. There is no God talking. God speaks through them. שמלך אחר כלבת אשתו יפך גזירה ולפיך אחרו רצו תחילן שכנס הגדול להסכים לכתוב את this cloud. That's why they didn't think it was a miracle. They didn't think it was God's revelation. That's why in the beginning they thought that this is not part of scriptures. ואמרו סינת מיורדת, כמו שאמרו בגלל, he says, a second, if you say that's a miracle, people won't understand. והיינו שהנס הגלו גלם נעם וגם הם הוידו שהנס לא שייך לסור סינת. If the goyim, do you know what the barometer is? Is it God revealing himself with his cognition? Do other people also believe in it? So in the beginning, they thought, no, only Jews understood on their own. So that's not revelation. That's the second type of revelation. But, but if the goyim appreciate that also, so then, is it God's revelation? But if the goyim say that it was nature, then if you say that's a miracle, they say that's not a miracle because they don't cognize. The Shiva, and that's what Esher answered, that even the Goyim recognized it as a miracle. That was a form of revelation. It was not just cognition, it was revelation. The Pasuk says many of the Goyim saw the miracle and they started converting. So it's not a revelation through people, it was also a revelation to people, because even people who were not involved, Goyim, was obvious to them. רצה לומר שגם האומות הכירו שהסיבה של הגבעה של דבקשת המלך דבר זר. Because even they realize that this is not natural, it's a miracle. ושתנסה אסתר הבלתי ידועה, the fact that Esther was not known, gets married to the king, מי זה עם משפחה וכל שכן מן דעומר, הקרע הקטע הייתה, and כל שכן the people saw that she was ugly, and the king fell for her. וחוץ של חסב השוך עליה, הבינו שהיה כל דרך נס, they saw it, it was an obvious miracle. וסיבה מן השבץ על הצלב, ולכן רבים ימי הארץ מתיידים, וזהו מעין לעתיד שיעשו גרים גרורים מצד הפחד ישראל. And this is the idea that there is understanding from our own, there's a revelation also. ולפי חכנית לכתוב בכתובים, that's why they decided they should be written in the כתובים, because it was obvious. It's God's revelation, not only presence. שהוא דברי קבול פבי שאינם דברי תורה ממש, even though it's not Torah ממש, but has some signs of Torah. But that's why the idea originally was supposed to be a yontif. You realize that the idea, this is a yontif or not, is also debatable. Because in some ways it's God's revelation, in some ways it's not. That's why the only sefer, you need a sefer. But Chazal tell you, we have a Masechta Megillah. Masechta Megillah is a Masechet devoted to the source of the Megillah. Which makes no sense. Anybody who reads the Megillah, they should have never made it into Masechet. But the Yerushalmi says, "V'zichram lo yosu v'zaram," that they were required to write a Masechta. Because it's the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh, of that generation of their understanding. I just will tell you something, just to finalize. You realize that that has to come through Amalek. What Amalek does, the whole idea of Amalek, Amalek is the gematria Sofek. He is the one who tries to take the world and separate it from God. That's why the name Yud-Heh, he accepts. The Vav-Heh, which is God's revelation, connection to this world, he tries to separate. He creates a separation of God. That's why Asher Karcha Baderech. His own work is he takes miracles and he belittles miracles. He wants to say that God doesn't show up in this world. The answer to Amalek is not to say, okay, this is a miracle. It's to say, we don't need miracles. Who cares about miracles? God is here. God is present. That's why the victory against Amalek is not the first war of Amalek. It's this war against Amalek. Because Amalek is telling God is not here because the miracles are not miracles. We answer to them, who cares about miracles? That's why, by the way, Christianity, which is the beginning of Christianity, is this, right? Christianity believes that the world didn't change. They believe that the new covenant, because it comes out according to us, is so interesting. In the beginning of the second commonwealth, is the beginning, Lehavdil of the new covenant, the covenant of Ezra. They did not accept the covenant of Ezra. They accept the covenant of Jesus. That's why they call the Brit HaChadasha, the New Testament, is the new covenant. Our new covenant is Ezra. But they believe the world stayed the same. They were very, in other words, you think that they were something new? No, they would say the world continues the same. And that's why their religion depends on what? On miracles, right? That's the idea. Exactly right, but we believe the world is a miracle. That's the world against Amalek. Amalek is the one that belittles miracles. He says, who cares about the miracle? The whole world is a miracle. God is speaking through the world. That is the victory against Amalek. That's our milchom against Amalek, is exactly that. To realize that God speaks through us. Purim is the Shem Adnus. God is my God. My cognition of God is how God represents. My understanding, my intuition, my tradition is God speaking through me, which is so much greater than God speaking to us. And therefore, in that transitional period, comes out Esther, that Esther in some ways, not in some ways, is the biggest way. Rabbi Shapiro used to say, we know that. Tomorrow I'll always explain the two Yom Tovim that to continue for Lasse Love, Yom Kippur and Purim. Rav and Paschal's Purim, right? And Purim Kippurim, there will be Lasse Love. And what's special? Because Keneged Ches Amisim. So Rav Shapiro explains very well, because usually there is a conflict between the body and the soul. There is a conflict between the two. In the world of the miracles, there is a world of physical and God intervenes. So there's always this debate. That's why every Yom Tov is a debate. Chetzi olachem, chetzi olashem, kulo lachem, kulo lashem. The only Yom Tov that there's no debate. It's everything in synchrony. Is Yom Kippurim and Yom Purim. The Gro, it says, the Purim and Kippurim are two sides of the same coin. It's Kabbalah Satorah. One is kulo lashem, Yom Kip. One is kulo lachem, Purim. Because there's no more. There's no more conflict. Is the world without conflict. Is the world that is my God. Is God through us. Is God through nature. The world is God speaking. We don't need God to speak to us because the world is speaking. And the world is God's explanation. Is Dovar B'Shem Omroi. And that's the Chidush. And that is the victory against Amalek. Amalek is the one. You know what the Amalek is represented. Amalek is always represented. Chazal. And that goes to us. He represented as a dog. Vayzanev becha kol hanechsholim, vayzanev becha kol sofei tevas kelev. Why? Because the dog is the one that thinks that his master is the one that's providing him food. And we know that the master is not providing him food. The real master is providing food through the master. The one that gives the false impression is the kelev. And that's why Chazal say, the Torah says that in Yetzias Mitzrayim, they saw who the real master is, Lechratz Kelev Lashono. God bless a Kelev. Chazal always say, Bladan ben Bladan. The king that started Golus Bovel is called named Bladan. Bladan is the false master. Chazal say in the Gemara Sanhedrin that he looked like a dog. Because he's the one who became the master as if he is the master. The dawn of this new era is realizing who the real Melech is. And that's why the Bladan, which was the beginning of Golos Bavel, is Mrodach. That's called Bladan. It's called Bliadon. And Chazdaris, the Zohar says, is a punishment to Yaakov Avinu that called Esav Adon, Adoni Esav. He gave the wrong master the value. Bladan is Bliadon. He looked like a dog. And he came to rule over Israel. The victory against the Golos Bavel is the recognition that the world is speaking on behalf of somebody else. It's Dovar B'Shem Omroi. That's why HaMelech, whenever it says HaMelech, it's not HaMelech HaChashverosh, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Dovar B'Shem Omroi. That's the ultimate tikkun, that's the ultimate survival of the Jewish people, and that's the second Kabbalah Satorah that allowed the Jewish people to survive in Golos for 2,000 years. God speaks to us all the time, we just have to hear. Have a friend of Purim, and in Mitzvah Hashem, we should be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every step of our lives.